Good afternoon. I call the meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order. For the record, it is 1:31 p.m. Tuesday, February 4th, 2020. We are in the Belts Room of the Thomas Stewart Building. Present today are Senators Gray Jackson, Senator Stevens, to my left is Senator Costello, and Senator Rivack, and myself, Senator Bishop. Today I'd like to recognize our staff, Kari Cooperwriter on the Senate Records, Taylor Kelly from the LIO, hello Taylor, Cody Grusendorf from my shop. I hate this, you know, everybody knows we don't turn our cell phones on in here, right? So I'm not going to mention it anymore. You can just bring treats if it goes off next time. Today we have one bill up. That's Senate Bill 157, Licensing, Temporary Eligibility, Bonds, and Repealers. This is a governor's bill sponsored by Governor Don Levy. There will not be public testimony today because this is it's a pretty good-sized little piece of legislation. And we're going to let the department commissioner will have opening comments. And this is the first hearing in this committee. So commissioner will have opening comments. She's online. And then we'll let the presenters come up and go through their presentation in a sectional. And I'm sure that might generate some discussion out there in the atmosphere with affected people as this bill touches each one of their disciplines. So we will be bringing this bill back up. We will continue to work on this bill, and then we'll take public testimony at that time. So with that being said, what did I miss? All right. Okay. I think we're going to go now to Commissioner Anderson and let Commissioner Anderson kick us off with opening comments. Commissioner, can you hear us?
Yes. Thank you very much, Senator Bishop, and members of the committee. My apologies for not being there in person, but I'm battling this bug, as many people are. I would like to thank you for hearing the Senate Bill 157, which we've dubbed the Professional Licensing Reform. The administration has been working on this legislation for many months. When enacted, this legislation will eliminate outdated requirements for several licenses, align current requirements of federal law, and lessen regulatory delays and redundancies built into our current system. And we have the subject matter experts there ready to talk about it in more detail. So I'd like to hand it over to them. And again, I apologize for my voice today.
Oh, no, thank you. No apologies. Just get better, and we can all sympathize for where you're at right now. So with that being said, Ms. Chambers, Deputy Commissioner, you want to come up to the table and put yourselves on the record and hit the ground running.
For the record, my name is John Springsteen. I'm Deputy Commissioner, Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development.
And Sarah Chambers, Director of the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing.
All right. Welcome.
And thank you, Chair. Thank you, Committee. The heart of this bill addresses current inconsistencies in the rules regarding temporary professional licenses and reworks language to allow temporary licensing and better protect the public. This particular provision will allow healthcare facilities to fill much needed positions more quickly, support military families transitioning into the Alaska workforce, and ensure regulated services are available without undue delay to Alaskans across the state. This legislation also clarifies when a previous brush with the law would disqualify a person from entering a licensed profession, setting fair and transparent boundaries for licensing boards and for applicants re-entering the workplace after rehabilitation. Together, we can keep our citizens safe, but still allow streamlined, efficient, and robust professional licensing. SB 157 is an important first step towards that goal, and we look forward to working with you to ensure it can be implemented this year. In short, this bill seeks efficiency, alignment, and consistency, and supports our military families. I'll turn it over to Sarah Chambers, Director of the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing, to walk through the bill.
Thank you. Before Ms. Chambers puts herself on, just I think our shop has contacted you, but I just want to put it on the record. I'd like a list of these 100 professions that we're talking about for the committee so we can put in their packet. Please. Thank you. Ms. Chambers?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I happened to swallow wrong at the very wrong time, so I apologize for that. Thank you for your time today. I want to go through our presentation briefly and then walk through a detailed sectional so you understand everything that is included in this bill. As the commissioner and deputy commissioner stated, this is a cleanup omnibus right size government effort that is in line with many of the best practices that we are hearing from the military community, from other states that have gone before over the last several years. And really, it's primarily an effort to just update some things that are impossible for us to license or enforce because they've been in statute for 20, 30 years, and it's high time that they are changed. Some of the national leaders in conversations about occupational licensing are listed above, and I just want to reiterate these because I want you to understand this isn't something that's been done in a vacuum. This occupational licensing examination at a national level really kicked off with the Obama White House in 2015 with a paper that was produced through his team and started a national conversation about, are we doing the right thing for people who are seeking licensure? Are we regularly looking back at what may be antiquated? Are we really making sure that government is doing, is headed in the right direction with the barriers and restrictions that we place to entry into a profession? Everything from medical doctors and nurses to barbers, hairdressers, construction contractors, physical therapists, everything in between. You can see that the National Conference of State Legislatures, Council of State Governments, several U.S. departments, the National Employment Law Project and Institute for Justice, a wide variety of types of organizations are all calling on states to pay attention to what's happening at a national conversation. This has really come to a head in Alaska with our military community when in 2018 the Department of Defense and several of our branches of the military stated that they are now actively going to consider states' licensure reciprocity as a key factor in their basing and military expansion decisions. This has been acutely brought to our attention specifically as Alaska does not have reciprocity in our licensing laws. And this would make sure that we are meeting that need without going perhaps as far as some other states have gone. So it's a very balanced approach to make sure that we aren't jeopardizing Alaska's future as a military power, as an Arctic defense, strategic Arctic defense location, by something as simple as licensure. So in addition to this universal temporary licensure concept, which I don't want to gloss over because it is the key showpiece of this bill, this would allow the department to really step in where some of our boards and professions haven't done so since the military licensing provisions of 2011 and 2014. Right now, our boards may adopt provisions, temporary licensing provisions to help military spouses. Many of our boards have not done so. And there are many boards that, through various antiquated loopholes, don't have an opportunity to offer a temporary license, even for practitioners who may not be affiliated with the military. So it's a streamlining, straightening, cleanup effort to ensure that all of our professions have a way for people to get a foot in the door when they are qualified. They can demonstrate that they're qualified. They can demonstrate they don't have outstanding discipline on their license. And allow them to get to work while maybe they're waiting on a few ancillary pieces, some pieces to licensure that are important in the long term, but may not be critically important to their core competency to be able to get to work in Alaska. We have a few examples of those right now. The main time where we see this delay in our office, usually calls come from your offices, why constituents can't get licensed, is that another state maybe has 10 or 20 hours of education or experience that are required, that are fewer than what Alaska requires. They're close, but they're not enough for us to license them. So they're fully capable, fully competent, fully practicing in another state or on another license, and they want to get licensed in Alaska, and they can't do it because they're close but not close enough. This would give us the flexibility to determine in regulation what is close enough so they can practice and then kind of top off what they're missing there at the end. Another example that I think is useful is that, for example, engineering requires an Arctic engineering exam. Not everyone who's coming to Alaska to work or who is entering the Alaska workforce is going to be practicing engineering in an Arctic standpoint, or may not have received their Arctic engineering course in Kansas or Texas or Florida. So they'd like to get to work in Alaska. Maybe they have a job waiting for them in Alaska, and they're missing that one piece, which has been difficult for them to get. They can come to work given the experience that they have, and then top off their licensure with that piece within the 180 days that this temporary license would allow. So it gives some flexibility that doesn't exist while maintaining the public safety requirements and ensuring that ultimately they meet those licensing requirements before getting a full permanent license. As the Deputy Commissioner mentioned, we're also encouraging the legislature to set our work at a higher bar with this reasonable basis review. Right now, there are some, again, antiquated terms in statute that provide more authority than is really reasonable for boards and the department to have in looking back at people's criminal histories. As we know, Alaska has a robust reentry ethic that we want people to be able to be rehabilitated, and those who are able to be rehabilitated should not be punished two and three times for the work that they've already done to overcome their past. This would require the department and the relevant boards to evaluate how much time has passed since conviction. Was the crime even relevant to the profession that someone wants to work in? What's the nature and seriousness of this crime? Have they demonstrated rehabilitation? And allows the applicant to clearly know up front whether they're facing something that a hump they won't be able to get over. Right now, they'll apply. That costs a couple of $100 of non-refundable fees just to get in the paperwork queue. And it could be months down the road before they realize that even though they feel like they've gotten their life back together, this board is not going to allow them to practice whatever. And this at least lets them know ahead of time. Again, these are fairness provisions that apply to our department as well as our boards, and we think that they're reasonable and transparent. So we are actually, in addition to some cleanup, we're actually requesting that some professions be taken out of statute because the doesn't seem to be a practical reason for them to remain in statute. One is, you may have heard over the last few years, there's been other legislation attempting to do this, to repeal the Athletic Commission. The Athletic Commission at one time regulated boxing and wrestling. The fees for this program are in statute, and back in 2002 era, the department at that time requested that fees be adjusted so the program could pay for itself, as we do for all of our programs. And that bill was not passed enough times that the program just sunk further in debt and couldn't recover, couldn't continue at the low fee that the legislature mandates in statute. So this is yet another attempt to say, look, if it's important to the legislature, then let's have a conversation about re-upping the Athletic Commission. But for all practical purposes right now, there is no Athletic Commission. We'd like to get it off the books so it's not confusing to people who may believe that the commission has a statutory function that they're actually performing. Another one is the regulation of geologists. There's no value that's added by regulating geologists. The only requirement is that they have a national certification, and we charge them money to process that paperwork and to hand them another piece of paper saying we looked at that piece of paper. We just think Alaska can, it's time to do better than that. So we've checked with certain agencies, and they said they're fine with that too. So we'd like to just get rid of it. And then another similar situation is the regulation of concert promoters. Maybe this made sense in the 70s and 80s, but now with technology, it doesn't make a lot of sense. We have no violations against concert promoters, and it's just another hump to try to get these businesses to bring shows, concerts to Alaska and generate more activity in our economy. So we don't see any public safety risk. Let's just cut out the middleman. There are quite a few, as I've mentioned, cleanup and housekeeping elements. One is the moving of dental radiological equipment from our agency to the Department of Health and Social Services. Our Board of Dental Examiners are really good at a lot of things, and managing safety of radiology is not necessarily one of them, and they will be the first to tell you that. So we've been actually working for a couple of years to find the proper vehicle to move their management of dental radiology over to Health and Social Services Division of Public Health, which does this every day. So it makes more sense for public safety that your when you're getting your teeth x-rayed, that would actually be an inspected safe piece of equipment, and it's not necessarily right now. Excuse me. Collection agencies, home inspectors, speech language pathologists, hearing aid dealers, veterinarians, and those professional licenses are all touched in cleanup language. For example, there is a requirement by the federal government to prohibit bankruptcy as a cause for denying a license. You can't, under federal law, deny someone a professional license due to bankruptcy, yet that is on our state books, and we'd like to just take that out so it aligns with federal law. There was a speech language pathologist assistant requirement to get a certificate or a degree from Prince William Sound Community College, which is not possible to do anymore. We'd like to take that out. Collection agencies, the same with the bankruptcy idea. The Board of Veterinary Examiners has asked us to put in to this bill some language that would make give them more flexibility with determining foreign license requirements. Right now, there are people who have perfectly good training that happened outside of the United States. Maybe it happened in Canada, maybe it happened in another country, but the board's hands are tied in their current statutes. And then lastly, the business licensing piece may be a little bit more controversial, but I want to just be really open with what we're trying to do with this element. In 2017, a law was passed that, unbeknownst to the Department of Commerce, placed a requirement for an oil and gas surety bond program onto our business licensing efforts. And we have, when we found out about that after the law was already effective, we worked with several other agencies, including the our Division of Insurance, Department of Revenue, and others, to say, how can we make this work? The Division of Insurance, which manages sureties through the state, looked for a provider that would perhaps cover oil and gas bonds and couldn't locate one that would do specifically this. We feel that we exhausted all of the resources that we had through a pathway that where we didn't have an opportunity to ask for resources. So we're requesting that this be repealed and for perhaps legislation, separate legislation that could do a more thorough review of the appropriate place for this to be introduced by an interested legislator. So we are not doing this program. It's impossible for us to do. So whether it gets taken out of the law or not, it's not happening.
So is it impossible to do in your shop? Okay, so that'll be, we could ask Department of Revenue if it could be possible to do it in their shop.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We did speak with them a couple of years ago when this came to our attention. And at this point, we wanted to just raise the issue so we could have a collaborative conversation with an interested legislator.
Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your asking for a list of all the licenses covered in it. It's sort of hard to go through this without knowing what you're really talking about. But let me just ask this one question. There are lots of licenses in education. Are any of those that are included in this bill?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, we do not license teachers or attorneys. There are a few healthcare license types like child care providers that we don't license that are licensed through Health and Social Services. We do have 43 different licensing programs with over 100 license types, and we're happy to provide that list to the committee.
Very helpful. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your testimony, Sarah. Anyway, you mentioned three professions that are being eliminated. Are there any others that are being eliminated?
Through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson, no, those are the only ones that we're proposing to eliminate wholesale.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chairman, may I follow up, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. And so my next question is the one area of concern that you talked about, and thank you for meeting with me yesterday because you did talk about the surety bond issue, but are there any other areas of concern from the public in this bill? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Through the chair, thank you, Senator. There is no reduction in public safety that's being proposed. There's no reduction in requirements that this bill would do that we didn't mention. Certainly we are requesting that a few of these be repealed, but those are because we don't have any public safety concerns over geologists and concert promoters. This is just another tool in the toolbox and helping to reduce barriers to get people to work, whether it's through eliminating some of the impossible areas like a college that's not offering this program, or if it's through just giving another opportunity for us to get people's foot in the door while they finish those requirements. So we're not proposing anything that is really radical or unheard of, and we haven't, granted this is the first hearing, so we'd love to hear people's concerns, but we haven't heard any concerns yet.
Thank you.
Senator Costello, question?
Yep. Thank you, Sarah. My question has to do with the removal of the National Association of Home Inspectors examination. Do you know the difference between the American Society of Home Inspectors test and then between that and the National Association of Home Inspectors examination?
Through the chair, yes. Thank you, Senator Costello. The one that we're proposing to remove doesn't exist anymore, and that's why we want to get rid of it. We actually may have a slight tweak to that language. We're working with the Association of Home Inspectors to make sure we get just the right language in there, and there may be an even better way to word that. So that is something that we're discussing, and I'll be meeting with the Home Builders Association tomorrow to talk with them as well.
Follow up. Thank you.
In that same section, it looks like the department is doing more in regulation versus agencies that they've used in the past for competency requirements. And is there a reason for that?
Through the chair, Senator Costello, yes. We're looking to take advantage of an opportunity to move those requirements into regulation because it is really difficult to update requirements when they're in statute. Most of this bill is a case in point, but we're not looking to remove the value and utility that those associations and approving entities bring, we just like to have a little bit more flexibility. So when they change or when we see additional opportunities to add to that list, that we can do that in regulation through a public process.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions before we go to the sectional? Seeing none, would you, whoever's going to walk us through the sectional analyses, please carry on.
Thank you. So Section 1 of this bill amends centralized statutes under AS0801-020 relating to board participation requirements to remove the sentence that a board may provide by regulation that three or more unexcused absences from meetings are cause for removal. We found that only one of our boards has taken advantage of that, and we address the other half of that coin later in another section. Section 2 is the universal temporary licensure piece. It replaces the existing temporary courtesy licensing language in AS0801-062 with a statute to authorize temporary licensing that would apply to most professions listed in AS0801-010. Applicants would apply and pay fees directly to the department for a temporary license of up to 180 days, with the option to apply for a 180-day extension, which could be longer if demonstrated to be necessary to complete training requirements. In order to receive a temporary license, an applicant would be required to show that they are either licensed to practice the profession elsewhere, meet the relevant qualifications and requirements, and live in a location that does not license the profession, are training in or studying the profession, are awaiting test results and otherwise qualified for a professional license, or hold relevant military training, education, or experience to qualify for licensure. Applicants would also be required to show that they are not subject to disciplinary action and have not committed an act within the previous 10 years that would have constituted grounds for denial or revocation of a license. This section applies to all of our professional licensing programs, list forthcoming, except for the Big Game Commercial Services Board or Board of Marine Pilots, which have very Alaska-specific training requirements. Section 3 retains expedited temporary licensing procedures for applicants on active duty and spouses of active duty member of the armed forces. Section 4 eliminates the equitable fee provision for the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers in AS0801-065. This will allow more appropriate fees to be set for lower tier professions like hair braiding and non-chemical barbering.
So, this in case I forget, can we take a pause between each section? And I should have said that earlier, so I want to make sure I capture any committee questions. But going back up to the section number 2, the 180 days, and then if they're still not qualified, you're going to extend them another 180 days. Is that right?
Mr. Chair, they could apply for that, and we would have the option to approve that.
Okay, you'll have the option. Okay. And that's why as we go forward in the next hearings, it'll be important for us and for you to show to us what licenses and applications, you know, because I do get a little nervous when we talk about regulations and leaving it up to regulations, especially when you got an omnibus bill. We've got a little history in this building where we've passed an omnibus bill and not all the regs were implemented before we changed the law again. So, and I just say this as to err on the side of caution. So if we're going to try to get to a good place, when you're finished, I'd like to know how many reg packages you think you're going to have to implement. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stevens.
Just in reading through this, the Section 3 about active duty and spouses of active duty, just questioning why we don't include family members of active duty military folks.
Through the chair, that's a great question.
Sons and daughters who are transferred with their parents and
through the chair, Senator Stevens, that has not been a discussion that's been brought up from the military community, but we'd certainly be happy to entertain that and what that might look like.
Thank
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Continuing on with Section 5. Section 5 allows the division to collect fees to cover the expense of dental radiological inspections performed by the Department of Health and Social Services. Fees will be transferred to DHSS through a reimbursable services agreement as an efficiency measure. This keeps them from having to come up with a whole fee collection scheme, which we do daily. Section 6 is the reasonable basis review. It sets standards for boards and the department to ensure this review of criminal convictions on applications for licensure. Standards include defining of types of criminal convictions in regulations, the relevance of the crime to the profession, the time since conviction, the seriousness of the crime, and rehabilitation. This section allows a person to inquire prior to application whether a conviction would be disqualifying. This section also requires the board or department to communicate the applicant's rights, reasons for denial, and standards for reapplication for licensure. Section 7, and then centralized statutes under AS 08080 to allow the department to set in regulation the requirements for board member attendance and participation. And if I could just speak to that for a moment, boards right now have an opportunity to do that in regulation, and I believe only one board has done so. And we regularly have trouble achieving quorums with our boards, which delays licensure. It delays pharmacies from putting pharmacy techs to work. It delays that's the first most recent example that comes to my mind. It's a real problem. These are volunteers, and it's tough for them. But sometimes they don't fully understand the time commitment that they've signed up for, and we get stuck with the inability to license people because boards often have to approve these applications. So what we would like to do is to at least have a standard that is established through, again, a regulation that would require the board input, and they can help us set those requirements, but we do need to have a standard for when board members don't participate.
Thank you.
Sections 8 through 13 all modernize the chapter regulating audiologist, speech-language pathologist, and speech-language pathologist assistants by eliminating outdated language and providing the department with authority to establish regulations for licensure. Section 13 adds a new paragraph to the same chapter to define fieldwork. This is another area. These programs don't have boards. They're managed through the department. But it's another area where the language is outdated, and we need a little bit more flexibility to keep up with the times with the industry, which we would like to do through regulation.
So this one, for instance, so is this a direct result of feedback from industry experts in this area?
Mr. Chairman, it's not necessarily a result of feedback from industry experts. It's a result of having to deny licenses to people who are working in another state because ours are so outdated that people can't meet them.
So does that mean that they're overqualified, could be overqualified, and not qualify under our outdated regulations?
Mr. Chair, it's usually that our regulations are requiring certain standards that are not norms in other states, and that these are people successfully working in other states who hope to say yes to a job in Alaska and can't get a license in Alaska without additional going through some additional hoops, which we don't see as necessary to public safety.
Okay, thank you. I see no other questions. Please continue.
Thank you. Section 14 removes the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers' enforcement of hair braiding regulations adopted by the Department of Environmental Conservation. This is a little cleanup from Senate Bill 4, which Senator Michicki championed a few years ago, and it just recognizes that in the Department of Environmental Conservation's expert opinion, hair braiding is not a safety and sanitation risk, and so it doesn't make sense to either of our agencies to make them, again, jump through those higher hoops of safety and sanitation when all they're doing is working on the hair. They're not coloring hair. They're not cutting hair. They're not doing things that the DEC sees as needing that higher level of regulation.
Thank you. Please continue.
Section 15 amends ASO 813-120, barbers and hairdressers shop license, to conform to the temporary licensing provisions of Section 2 of this Act. Section 16 amends 813-150, disciplinary sanctions and grounds for refusal of license or permit, to conform to the temporary licensing provisions of Section 2 of this Act. Sections 17 through 19 are amended to conform to the temporary licensing provisions of Section 2 of this Act. And Section 17 exempts the demonstration of Alaska Native tattoo techniques at special events from requiring a license. This is another, Mr. Chairman, another example of something that may be unique to Alaska that we need to, we believe we need to honor, that people are performing traditional techniques of tattoo, and right now that requires a sort of a standard license that is very different than the type of practice that they perform now, and we'd like to not have to cite them or fine them for doing that.
Good, thank you.
Section 20 requires a civil penalty under AS 08113 to be paid no later than 30 days after an entry of an order, rather than within 30 days, just more cleanup language. Section 21 amends AS 08-18-022, home inspectors, associate home inspectors, to remove a reference to a defunct national association.
And that speaks to Senator Costello's question, correct?
It does.
Okay, thank you.
Section 22 also relates to Senator Costello's question, moving home inspector continuing competency requirements into regulation, so we have more flexibility to make sure we're keeping up with the times. Section 23 amends AS 08-2180, fees for chiropractic examiners, to insert a reference to the new temporary licensing provision and remove sections which would be repealed by this act. Section 24 amends applicant requirements under AS 08-24-110, qualification for a collection agency operator's license. Currently, an applicant to operate a collection agency may not have been convicted of certain crimes. This section would limit this requirement to within 10 years of applying and eliminates bankruptcy as a disqualifier for licensure, which is prohibited under federal law. Section 25 amends AS 08-24-240, failure to file a statement, by removing a requirement to mail notice and by extending the time to respond from 15 to 30 days after the date of notice. This also relates to collection agencies. Section 26 amends 08-24-290 to allow the department to take certain actions regarding a collection agency license if an applicant or licensee has at any time been disbarred from the practice of law, convicted of certain crimes, or violated provisions of the chapter or regulations adopted under the authority of the chapter at any time, rather than since the date of the application as it currently stands. Section 27 amends AS 08-24-340, statement of persons employed by the agency, to require collection agencies to submit to the department annual lists of employees instead of with each new hire, which would be a huge paper-saving effort for both the applicant and for our staff. Section 28 moves the oversight of dental radiological equipment from the Board of Dental Examiners to the Department of Health and Social Services, Division of Public Health. And I would just like to note that representatives of the Division of Public Health are in the room in case there are follow-up questions for them.
They're all asleep right now, but
a boring bill is a good bill. Section 29 amends AS 08-36-100, dental licensing, to conform to the temporary licensing provisions of Section 2 of this Act. Section 30 amends AS 08-42-085C, mortician trainee licensing, to conform to the temporary licensing provisions of Section 2 of this Act. Sections 31 through 33 amend three sections of statute to remove a reference to a section being repealed by this act and to remove the requirement that hearing aid dealers are required to have a current business license at the time that they apply for a professional license. It's just flip-flopped. they get their professional license first, and then they get their business license. So that would be a streamlining effort for our staff and for those applicants. Section 34 amends AS 08-64-279, interview for permits for physician licensing, to conform to the temporary licensing provisions of Section 2 of this Act. Section 35 and 36 amend physical therapy and occupational therapy licensing statutes to conform to the temporary licensing provisions of Section 2 of this Act. Sections 37, 38, and 39 amend veterinary licensing to conform to the temporary licensing provisions of Section 2 of this Act and to allow the board to set standards for a foreign graduate certification process. Section 40, yes, Mr. Chairman. Section 40 amends AS 09-65-290, civil liability for sports or recreational activities. This amendment would clarify that a person who participates in a sport or recreational activity, including boxing, mixed martial arts, sparring, or wrestling, assumes the inherent risk of that activity, and that is related to the Athletic Commission not being an operational commission at this point. So it's part of, it's wrapped up into the repeal of the Athletic Commission.
So I've got a quick question. So do we have promoted fights in the state? Are we in the last 10 years or last 6 months, or how does that work?
Mr. Chairman, yes, there are boxing and wrestling matches that happen. In Alaska, there is no commission that's currently functioning to oversee those. As the statutes stand, again, they've been untouched for a long time. They only oversee boxing and wrestling. They don't oversee some of the ultimate fighting or MMA that has come in vogue since the Athletic Commission, but there is no state oversight of those activities right now.
Interesting. Okay. Thank you.
Section 41 amends AS 31-05-009A, qualifications of members of the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, to remove a reference to certification of professional geologists being repealed by this act. We did speak with the commission's representatives, and they were fine with that since it didn't actually change the qualifications of their membership. It only changes that they don't have a piece of paper from our office. They still have all the education and other requirements that are left standing in this statute.
So somebody's got the documentation on their qualifications as a geologist.
I would hope that that would be something that boards and commissions would be checking before making those appointments.
Okay.
Section 42 moves oversight of dental radiological equipment from the Board of Dental Examiners to the Department of Health and Social Services. Section 43 amends the Department of Environmental Conservation statute to remove hair braiding safety and sanitation requirements. Section 44 moves oversight of dental radiological equipment from the Board of Dental Examiners to the Department of Health and Social Services. And that brings us to Section 45, which is the repealer section, which is a lot. Most of these are temporary licenses, and I'll go through those as well. So these all repeals would all take effect January 1st, 2021. AS 05 and AS 08-10-10 and 08-10-170 repeal chapters relating to the Athletic Commission and regulation of boxing and wrestling. AS 08-01-010 repeals regulation of concert promoters. Subsection 13. 08-01-010-13 regulation of concert promoters. 08-01-010-21 repeals regulation of geologist. 08-01-063 repeals military courtesy licenses, which is no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2 of this bill. 08-01-064-B and D repeal references to temporary licenses under military education, training, and service credit, which is no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. AS 0802011 repeals professional geologist certification. 0811020 and 0811025 repeal references to temporary licensure for audiologist and speech language pathologist, which is no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. AS 0813160 A and B repeal references to cosmetology licenses issued under statutes that were both repealed in 1980. Current language states that the licensee may continue practicing until the license expires. AS 0813170 repeals reference to temporary permits under the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers, which is no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. AS 0813220014 repeals shampoo person from barbers and hairdressers requirements. This was something that was included in legislation several years ago accidentally. Someone currently under state law is required to have a hairdressing license in order to shampoo hair. We see that as a little bit of government overreach. AS 0815030 repeals a reference to temporary permits under regulation of behavior analyst, which is no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. AS 0820160 repeals reference to temporary permits under the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, which is no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. AS 0820160 repeals reference to temporary permit for chiropractic locum tenens practice, which is no longer needed due to proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. AS 0824370 repeals unequal fee provisions for non-resident collection agency licenses. This streamlines collection agency licensing application process. AS 0826050 repeals reference to temporary licensure under regulation of professional guardians and conservators, which is no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2.
Can we stop for a quick second?
Sure.
We passed 24370, right, with reference to collection agency licensure for non-residents?
Yes.
Okay, so we're removing that?
We are making those fees the same amount.
So we're not going to double?
That's correct.
They'll be the same.
They'll be the same.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Picking up with AS 0836254, repeals a reference to a temporary permit under the Board of Dental Examiners, which is no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. 0842085C repeals a reference to a temporary permit under the regulation of morticians, which is no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. AS 0845035A and B repeals a reference to temporary licensure under the regulation of naturopaths, which is no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. AS 0855010A4 repeals the requirement for a hearing aid dealer to hold a business license prior to obtaining a professional license. That, again, is a streamlining effort. Every other profession requires the professional license to come first, and this is always a hiccup when licensing hearing aid dealers. We'd prefer to switch the order of things so it's streamlined and similar to all the other professions.
So on that point, what's the timeline? Is it the 180 days then would be applicable to get the license to put the hearing aids in or test people to see if they need a hearing aid? Audiologist, I think, is the word I'm looking for. So explain, can you go a little deeper there?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hearing aid dealers currently are required to get a business license to operate a hearing aid dealer business, and they're required to get that as a precursor to professional licensing. What we would like to do is to go ahead and issue the professional license, and then they would get their business license. It's purely an administrative switching of the order of things, which makes it easier for us to track. who is actually practicing in the state. There's it really comes down to a software system issue and trying to streamline those requirements. So anyone who needs a business license gets that after they have their professional license, and they would be required to demonstrate they have a professional license prior to getting that business license. Does that help? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
ASO 855-010-A6D repeals the requirement to disclose reorganization, debt adjustment, or bankruptcy for a hearing aid dealer application in alignment with federal law. ASO 855-130-13 repeals disciplinary sanctions for indebtedness, which is also in line with federal law. AS 0863030 repeals a reference to a temporary permit under the Board of Marital and Family Therapy, which is no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. AS 0864101B2, 64270, and 64275 repeal references to temporary permits under the State Medical Board, which are no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. AS 0868210 repeals references to temporary permits under the Board of Nursing, which are no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. AS 0870130 repeals a reference to provisional licenses under the regulation of nursing home administrators, which is no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. AS 0880150 and AS 0880155 repeal references to temporary licenses and emergency permits under the Board of Pharmacy, which are no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. AS 0884065 and 0884075 repeal references to temporary permits and limited permits under the Board of Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy, which are no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. AS 0886135 and 166 repeal references to temporary licenses under the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners, which are no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. AS 0892010 through 0892090 repeal regulation of concert promoters. AS 0895-0508 repeals a reference to temporary licenses under the Board of Social Work Examiners, which is no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. AS 0898-0508 repeals an outdated and redundant requirement to collect data concerning the practice of veterinary technology. AS 0898-186 repeals reference to temporary permits under the Board of Veterinary Examiners, which is no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. AS 0898-188A, B, and D repeals reference to student permits under the Board of Veterinary Examiners, no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. Subsection 6 and 7 repeal references to fees for temporary licenses and temporary permits under the Board of Veterinary Examiners, which are no longer needed due to the proposed temporary licensing language in Section 2. AS 2527244 repeals a reference to a license for boxing or wrestling under AS 0510. It's just a cross-reference there. AS 4370 025 and 028 repeal the business license requirement for a bond or cash deposit for an oil and gas business because of the misplacement of this requirement in commerce and the inability to identify a surety that will issue such a bond, and repeals the authority to bring a claim against such a business under this bond or cash deposit. And last on the repealer list, AS 4429027 repeals DCCED regulation of dental radiologist equipment. The remaining sections are all transitional language, providing regulations, ongoing proceedings, existing certificates or permits, liabilities and property and treats how we'll handle those in this transition time. The transition provisions are all effective immediately, so we can all get to work working on regulations, and then the entire bill is effective January 1.
Of what year?
2021.
I'm just being fucked up. Senator Stevens.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if we could go back to in more detail on each of the sections we've covered. Would you oppose that? Well, actually, my question then, if probably I can see you're not too happy about that. Section 24, what if we could talk about that a little bit, just so I understand it. It's, it has to do with collection agency operators, and at some point somebody felt that if an operator committed such a crime of whatever magnitude or a certain crime, it says, they could no longer ever be a collection, have a license. But now this is changing it to if you only committed it within the past 10 years, you could get it. So could you help me understand that? What is that all about anyway?
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Stevens. I think that's a great question, and it speaks to some of the other provisions in the bill, too. What we would like to see is the ability to use more discretion in making that determination. Through doing this every day, through listening to expert testimony, listening to everyday person testimony, for a variety of our licensing programs, including collection agencies, people are able to demonstrate that they've been able to rehabilitate from a past indiscretion. Sometimes those indiscretions are too large to overcome. They're too relevant to overcome. They're too recent to overcome for the purpose of licensure. But so many of our statutes and our regulations, which we're cleaning up as well, don't have enough flexibility and don't allow people to demonstrate, I was a different person 15 years ago. I was a different person 25 years ago. For this purpose, we thought about it, and 10 years is certainly an arbitrary number, but it seemed like a long enough time to give a cushion for someone to be able to prove a track record of demonstrated good behavior, for us to then be able to issue a license, which we can then discipline or take away if we were wrong in that discretion.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. That makes sense. But there are still some crimes that are so heinous or so certain crimes. It doesn't say all this is a certain crimes, but there are some crimes that are so bad that one could never become a collection agency operator again. Is that true, or are we just saying everything is open?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, for the purpose of collection agencies, what this bill would do is to limit someone from having committed a felony or a crime of larceny, embezzlement, or a crime involving moral turpitude, which is usually a serious crime against a person, within the 10 years before applying. So that would make it so within that 10 years, then we have that discretion to deny them a license. But if they committed those crimes prior to the 10 years, then we would have less of an ability to deny a license.
Would you read those crimes again, moral turpitude, and what were the, as you listed them?
Through the chair, to qualify for an operator's license, the applicant shall not have been convicted of a felony or a crime of larceny or embezzlement or a crime involving moral turpitude within 10 years before applying.
And so, Mr. Chairman, if I understand then that someone could have been involved in embezzlement, for example, which sounds to me pretty bad if you're a collection agency operator, but you would not be able to deny that person a license if that had occurred longer than 10 years ago.
Through the chair, that's correct. That would not be a disqualifying event.
Okay. Sounds pretty bad to me, but
I'd like to follow up on that. Yeah. It seems to me like you'd want to have some language that the commissioner have the last say on that.
Mr. Chairman, the commissioner essentially has the last say on anything that doesn't have a board overseeing it. The department is the one who regulates those decisions, and she delegates her day-to-day authority to make those decisions to the director, who's me. So that would really be on currently on my plate, but that could be something that the commissioner, him or herself in the future, could rescind and do personally.
So it's line 29 through 30 on page 12 under section 24, that would cover that, what you just said.
That's correct.
Thank you. Senator Costello, pardon me.
Thank you. Related to crimes involving a victim, is there any victim notification provision in the bill in terms of providing a license to somebody who may have been incarcerated at some point?
Through the chair, Senator Costello, none of our licenses have that provision now, and it's not being contemplated in this bill either.
Some more questions, Mr. Chair?
Please.
So with the temporary licensure process, will that run through the boards or will that be run through your office?
Through the chair, Senator Costello, what this bill would allow us to do is for that process to run through our department and not be through the board's approval process, because it may take months for a board to approve such a license, and we would like to be able to approve that license in a matter of days. What we are planning to do is to work with the boards to make sure that we're all speaking the same language, that we're all okay with the regulations that would enact that. And we're looking to the existing requirements and communicating with the boards, what might this look like? So we're not proposing to water down licensure. We just want to be able to make it faster, and we want to provide a temporary license where a board has not moved to provide one before.
Please.
So, and Sarah, how many boards are there, boards and commissions for licensure?
Through the chair, there are 21 boards in our division managing those 21 programs, and then we manage the other 22 professional licensing programs in our division.
Mr. Chair.
Please.
It seems kind of like a heavy lift. We have a process where Alaskans with expertise are appointed to boards and commissions, and they go through a hearing, you know, here in the legislature, and they then will have no say essentially over the temporary licensure process. I mean, it seems to me that you would want somebody with that experience and expertise to have more of a role in that, and perhaps that's something you can answer at some other time, because my other question has to do with the regulation process. Could you walk us through, if you were to promulgate regulations, what's the time period? I know that there are specific time periods that the regs have to be out on the street, and then a review, and then a response, and then if they're redrafted. Can you walk us through that process?
Absolutely. Through the chair, Senator Costello, we are all regulations are a public process, and it's consistent through all almost all departments, and we would be including the boards in what these regulation standards would be. So we will draft these regulations by looking at what caused us to promote this bill in the first place, draft what those temporary licensing requirements might look like, and put those out for public comment, which would include board comment and input. And then that's usually, for our purposes, a 30-day window for public comment. Then we would get those comments back. Anybody, a legislator, a licensee, board member, anyone could comment and give ideas. If we think that their ideas are valid and worthwhile, we'll put those ideas in the regulation. If they're substantial, they go out for another 30 days. If they're technical and not substantial, then or if we decide that the public comment is not useful and we don't want to accept it for good reason, then we will adopt the regulations, and then they will go over to the Lieutenant Governor's office for filing. We can usually accomplish this, if it's a department regulation and not a board regulation, within 3 to 5 months. If it's waiting on a board to meet to be able to review draft language or to adopt regulations, then that can take many more months.
Just a follow-up comment.
Please.
Your comment earlier that the in terms of the home inspector regulations, you mentioned that if the department were to promulgate the regs, that would give you more flexibility. Mm-hmm. And I think you alluded to the fact that it might be quicker, but it seems to me that if you were to weigh the cost benefit between the regulation review promulgation process and the legislative process, that you could actually get a bill through and passed quicker in the legislature, and it actually provides even more public input because all of these hearings are televised, there's public comment, and while there is public comment in reg reviews, I'd be a little concerned that the process would be too internal to the department and not as open and public as the legislative process, where basically there's a camera and people transcribing, you know, every single meeting. And I just wanted to throw that out there on the record, because I think that any time that that reg writing process is brought into the department, that you actually lose the public voice and not necessarily gain it, as you know, maybe you might believe that, but I think that the most public process is the legislative process. Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks for asking. So you covered some of my questions, so I won't have to ask all of them. So it was good. Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you. And Senator Costello reminded me of something too. So as I understand it from your answers to Senator Costello, someone who needs a license, whatever it might be, they could get a temporary license through the department, but it's only for 6 months, right? But to get a permanent license, they have to go through the board. Is that true?
Through the chair, that's true, Senator Stevens. This would be the first step in providing all of that information, which all goes to the same place. We are the administrative wing for all of our boards. It would all go to the same repository and have the same level of scrutiny. And then what they would be doing once they finish their temporary license application process, they complete the remaining small requirements, and then that would go to the board. So it would be not a separate additional application process. It would just be completing the documents that we would need to send it to the board, which could be done quickly, or it may require a little bit longer time.
Thank you.
Good, great question, Senator Stevens. Senator Jackson.
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Other questions? I got just for my. How long did it take you to put this package together, and how many people did you have working on it? Just, it's not a gotcha question, it's just a question, because I want the people at home to, if you got the answer, to hear that, because that's what's before us as a committee, and just to give them some idea. This is just one bill that we're looking at in of many bills in the legislature that we deal with. So if you could answer that question, I would appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I started working on this bill just over a year ago, and piecing together some of the cleanup elements that my staff has been, we've been trying to get the legislature's attention to clean up some of these things in separate bills. But that's, to speak quite frankly, part of the problem in bringing something to the legislature is that because we think it's a good idea doesn't mean that you think it's a good idea. And if we can't get a bill sponsored or a bill passed, then we haven't gained anything and we have no process to do that. So a lot of this cleanup is really just, you know, the scraps of files that have been accumulated. But the real heavy lift has been with the temporary licensing piece, which we've been working on with our military stakeholders, particularly the Fairbanks North Starboro Mayor's Office. Because of their interest in the Eielson expansion for the last year. And once we had our good ideas kind of put together in an outline format, that was sent over to the Department of Law, where two attorneys worked for untold hours. I honestly haven't seen that bill yet. And put this together so it would be in a proper logical format for legislators to consider. So it's been quite a chunk of my life trying to see what we can do through legislation to make sure Alaska is positioned for future military basing decisions, which really doesn't seem like it should have anything to do with licensure, but it, as you'll hear in future testimony from stakeholders, it has everything to do with spouse licensure and recognizing military training.
And then as Senator Stevens pointed out, family members.
Yes.
Senator Costello, please.
Sarah, I know when the bill went through to expedite spouses of military, people serving in the military, there was a genuine interest in really helping out those families, and you had personally said that you would dedicate time to helping the boards with that process so that they could expedite some of these licenses. And so I guess this is kind of a different approach to solving that same problem, and I'm wondering if it can be solved by allowing the boards to meet more often, or is there a, you know, something slowing down the board work that we could help with rather than take away from the boards their ability to really dig in and look at the applicant and all of the expertise that they bring to the table?
Through the chair, Senator Costello, that's an excellent question. We have tried that administrative approach for the last many years. The problem, which requires, in our view, a statutory change, is that the law that's written says the board may, not the board shall. It doesn't require boards to offer these services to military families. And it says only where there are temporary licenses existing. So not only is the expediting a level that is a that something the legislature said was important, but it's only where there is a temporary license. And a lot of these programs don't have temporary licenses, which is and something that's enabled in statute. So there are different ways to approach this problem. It would be fantastic to find a way that would streamline this so we could make it a lot easier and straightforward for military spouses who are applying or anybody who's applying for a license in Alaska to know what are the steps so I can get to work quickly, so healthcare facilities can fill these vacancies. So this is not the only way, but there is no administrative way to ensure that every board has a temporary license that would meet this need, or that they are actually taking those steps to ensure that it's done.
Okay. Follow up.
So it seems to me that we would know which professions are most highly sought after and in need, for example, the healthcare professions. I mean, couldn't we go into statute and say that the boards shall provide this temporary licensure and pick the top 10? Because what I'm hearing from you is that if we, let's say, slow this down or what have you, that we're in fact impeding the state's ability to make a case when it comes to, you know, to the base relocation effort that always happens. And of course, Alaskans, we support our military families and our bases and what it brings to the economy. So I kind of feel like my arm is being twisted, but I'm not sure this is the right, specifically the right way to go, because we also have to ensure that the public is safe and that the professions are, you know, it's why we have the whole process to begin with. So it's really something that's pretty significant in this bill. And so, I pledge to work with you and with the chair on trying to figure out the right approach. And it seems that we've been trying to fix this problem for several years in terms of making Alaska a place where military families can come here and their spouses and family can work in the professions that they have experience in. And I'm not necessarily sure that the case has been made to me that this is the exact route to go, because it just takes that entire temporary licensure and takes it out of the boards and puts it, you know, with you. And, you know, so I'm not sure that that's solving the problem, that doing it quicker is necessarily in the best interest of anybody. But I do understand, and I'm on board with helping, you know, with that situation with our military families, because I think all of us here appreciate the sacrifice that's made, and we want, you know, families to be able to come to Alaska and go right into a working situation as quickly as possible.
Mr. Chairman, through the chair, Senator Costello, absolutely. We want to see the problem solved. And there are probably multiple good ways to do that. So we look forward to working with you and the chairman and the committee members on ways that this bill could be tweaked to accomplish that goal.
Senator Rivek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just curious, did you communicate with the military at all to determine if there were certain disciplines where they had specific issues in terms of licensing? And if so, how recent? And is it all these, or is it focused on a few different disciplines?
Through the chair, Senator Rivek, we have quite a strong and regular relationship with the Department of Defense and other military stakeholders, and have for the last few years in working on some of these issues. There are some national professions that nationally have been identified that fall within our professional licensing realm. Again, list forthcoming. But when we were looking at whether it made sense to cherry pick and hit the high notes versus taking care of maybe some of the spouses who are coming to Alaska who aren't on the national list, we felt like treating everyone with this, giving everyone this opportunity would be better for Alaska than maybe saying a psychologist or a social worker should have preference and have an expedited pathway, but a physical therapist shouldn't. It just didn't make a lot of sense to us to hit some of those on a national list when they may not be relevant to Alaska. The natural follow-up question that we would get from that family is, well, when is my profession going to be added to the list so I can get to work quickly?
Thank you.
Follow-ups, Senator Rivek?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have one related to the boxing. Maybe you already mentioned this. I'm sorry if you did. Is there currently a commissioner? Is that commission even in use?
Through the chair, Senator Rivek, the commission hasn't been populated since 2002. No one's been appointed to the commission because it's not able to function under its current statutes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from committee members? Senator Stevens.
Just one, Mr. Chairman, because I may have misunderstood, but I just wanted to understand or have clarity that it seems to me the commissioner should have the opportunity of overriding any of these if a crime has been committed that is so horrendous, like murder, rape, or whatever, you mentioned embezzlement, for the public safety, even though 10 years may have passed, it doesn't seem to be, it still seems to me that public would not be safe. So do I understand it correctly that the commissioner can overrule any of these things we've written here and can decide not to issue a license if a crime has been committed that's so horrendous?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, no, that section is where the commissioner can override is only pertaining to the collection agency statutes. It is not within our centralized statutes, which would pertain to all statutes. There have been some times when it would have been great to have that kind of flexibility, and that may be something for discussion in the future. Where we have boards, then the board sometimes has that flexibility in their statutes. But the commissioner doesn't currently have the ability to override a board decision or make that kind of discretionary call in all of our professions.
It just seems to me like the commissioner should have that right, but I don't know. It's
a good idea.
Maybe we'll ask the former commissioner. What do you think?
Seeing no further questions, I'll just take a stab at summing up in our next actions. Here is, so you, thanks for coming today, and thanks for the presentation. Hear some good questions. You heard some concerns, and our office will be in contact with your office, and I think you've got some of the bigger questions written down from committee members and the concerns. That doesn't mean that we, at the end of the day, we don't want to try to get somewhere where we want to go, where it's the most effective, and it pertains to our military especially. I think Senator Costello did an excellent job of summing up what we've been trying to do for the last couple of years with licensures. So I have some other questions, and we will get those to you for our next meeting, because we want to have invited testimony by affected groups. And I do see we have some folks on the line here today for questions only, but to Senator Rivack's comments, I think it'd be good to hear from the military. What disciplines and et cetera, et cetera. And American Society of Engineering and geologists. And so that's why I wanted to put on the record how much time you had personally put into this at your department and Department of Law. And when you see the bill, you might not do an omnibus bill this big the next time. I don't know. But, it's a lot of work that you put into this, and we're going to work this as a committee to see what we can do to move this along to the next committee of referral.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Thank you. With that being said, any other comments from committee members before I wrap us up and close us up? Seeing none, this will conclude our meeting for today. The schedule for the week, this week is February 6th. We're going to have SB 47. Physical therapist and occupation therapist. That bill is by Senator Giesel. And I want to thank everybody today and all our participants. And we are adjourned at 2:52.